today we're going to continue in this one prayer we talked about last week. Now, if you were not here last week, we mentioned and we watched a video by Pastor Craig Korshel, who is part of the national and the global One Prayer Network. And what's happening during the month of June is hundreds and even thousands of churches across the world are coming together and uniting with the same thought, the same prayer. This month, we're going to use the same prayer. We're going to be praying the same things during the month. We're going to be fasting on the same days over the same issues and praying over the same things. And we've asked everybody who's a part of this global network to challenge the body of Christ to do these one things, do three things, to share the gospel, to serve somebody, and to give. And what that means is we're asking during the month of June that you would target someone, at least one person, to share your faith with, to share the gospel at least with one person, looking for opportunities to share what God has done in your life with them, to share the gospel. Look for an opportunity to serve somebody, whether it be a friend, neighbor, family, whoever it is. Look for an opportunity to serve, showing the love of Christ in a practical way. And at the end of the month, we're going to be taking up an offering to help start a new church. And our particular offering that we're going to be giving is going to go to help us start a brand new church in Brazil. Our missionaries, Hillary and Aldair, are starting a brand new church there, and we're taking about 16 people at the 1st of August to go down there to Brazil to help them and to be with them as we went on the Amazon River doing some missions work. And we're going to be there locally on that weekend with their church that just started, and we want to come in and bless them and help them get things off the ground. I know after, you know, us being here for, you know, a couple of years, that we still have a lot of things that we have need of. And you can imagine the need in a foreign country when they have so many things, when you're trying to start the church off. There's so many things that we could be helpful through our finances of giving them and supporting them. So we're going to take our finances with us as an offering and go down there and help them plant this church, help them continue to do what God's already doing and blessing, and just continue to say, hey, we want to plant some more seed. We believe in you. And we're so excited to do that. I'll tell you more about that in the weeks to come. But that's what's happening. So we're taking this challenge, and I'm challenging you to share the gospel, serve somebody, and we're going to challenge you to give to help start a new church. Also, a part of the prayer network consists that we're all praying the same prayer all month long. And so if you go to our church website, mydestinychurch.com, I know many of you have been there, but if you go to our church website, mydestinychurch.com, we'll have the one prayer page there. And in that one prayer page, you'll see the weekly schedule of the things we're praying about. This week, we're praying about unity at the body of Christ, but drop denominational walls, and we see the body of Christ has come together and unified. I know that's what's happening through this one prayer network is churches from all around the world, different denominations are coming together saying we're going to preach the same thing, we're going to challenge the same thing, and we're going to pray about the same thing. And on Tuesday, you'll see Tuesday is the fast day. Tuesday, they're asking you to fast one meal and pray about a certain issue, and that's highlighted. And all those schedule will be on the website, so you can go there daily or weekly and check out the prayer. It's got scriptures and the prayer highlights for that day. And so if you go to our website, mydestinychurch.com, whose church? My church, mydestinychurch.com. If you go there, you can find that prayer schedule. And I invite everyone who will to go there and help us be a part of that prayer network and to pray these prayers along with the worldwide church. We're all praying these same prayers. Well, today we're going to continue in the thought. The theme that we're preaching on around the world is this theme, God is. And they've left it blank, God is. And we're allowing the churches to preach what they want and to fill in the blank. But we're all using the same thing, God is. Last week, Pastor Craig Korshel from Life Church in Oklahoma City, we brought the message. And that's being broadcast around the world today. And you guys heard it first last week. Many of you heard it first. You had a sneak peek last week as we showed it a week ahead of time to introduce what's going on this month. He preached on God is love. Today, I want to talk to you about this thought that God is more. Everybody say more. God is more. How many of there's more to life than what we have presently? Isn't that true? There's more of God. There's more things. I mean, I think the older we get, the more we realize there's a lot of things. So just more to life than what we think. And we get so busy, caught up in our everyday world. We have our own goals and expectations and things we're trying to achieve. And as we get older and we start meeting some of those things, we realize that really, you know, life's about much more than that. There's a movie that I showed some clips of this last year. It was The Bucket List. And you see this movie, The Bucket List. I know many of you saw this movie. It's these two guys who are both have been given a terminal disease, played by Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman. And they both have cancer, and they're both haven't given long to live. So they decide to make a bucket list and go out and accomplish some great things they never accomplished. You know, skydive and go see pyramids and just travel the world. And this one guy happened to be a billionaire. And so he said, I'll make it happen. Let's do it. And they went on this adventure to do all these things on their bucket list of things they can do before they kick the bucket. it's a good movie, and it really talks about, you know, in the end, the guy finds out that, you know, one guy realizes that, you know, money isn't everything, that what I really had all along was back home waiting on me, and that's the most important thing in life. And I think that as I'm watching that movie, I meant to make some other things in my life. I thought, you know, what are some things I want to accomplish in my life that besides some spiritual things, what are some things I want to accomplish? I'm beginning to make some mental notes of things I just want to do for fun, you know. You ever want to make some fun lists too? I made a pact with my boys. We were in California about 2 weeks ago when we were in Anaheim. And so I had a full schedule and had things going on, but we drove by the stadium and the stadium just called our name. I couldn't help it. It was like the Holy Spirit said, go. And so we ditched one of the services and went to see the Anaheim Angels play. I know that sounds so spiritual, doesn't it? Your pastor would do that, but I was in 4 or 5 sessions a day, so I didn't miss too much, okay? But we decided to take my kids, let's go to Anaheim. We went to the stadium, and we experienced the whole Angels game. They played the Chicago White Sox. And as I was looking at my boys, I was like, man, you guys are so lucky. I said, you know, when I was your age, I didn't go any of these places, you know? And they've already been to Royal Stadium, St. Louis Stadium, to Dallas Stadium, and now I took them to Anaheim. I said, we should make a pact that every time we have a chance, when there's a game going on, we should go try to hit every ballpark we can. Anytime we're in a major city and there's a game going on, we should try to make it. And let's make it our goal that, you know, before we die, that we said we can hit all these major league ballparks, you know. And so we made this pact, me and my boys made this pact, that every time we're in a major city and there's a game going on, we're going to try our best to get tickets and go. And let's see how many ballparks in our lifetime that we can go to and see. To you, that's nothing, but to the guys, that's a big thing, isn't it? You know, Wrigley Field and, man, to see the Green Monster live and, you know, New York, all these places we want to go. These ballparks, these are big things to us. You know, another thing I said, you know what? I want to kill an animal that could kill me. That's another thing I want to do. I do. I want to hunt an animal that would kill me. You know, that would be just, you know, you guys who hunt deer and Bambi, you guys, are, that's okay. You know, I want to kill something that would kill me. You know what I mean? That's really hunting in a sport, you know. Something that has a fighting chance. If I miss, I might be in trouble. Some of you may, I'll wait till my kids get grown before I take that adventure, just to make sure. But, you know, some things that we make in life, and not only in our own personal goals that we have, but there's more to the life of God that we miss out on so much. I am totally convinced that heaven's going to be full of people who are there and they made heaven their home, but they missed out on so much that God had for them here on earth. That God has so many things, and we've even used this as preachers many times. We've used illustrations about how when we got to heaven, there was all these unwrapped gifts there. We're like, God, what's all these presents for? These are all the presents I had for you on earth, but you didn't open any of them. And I think that's the same way we are here in this earth, that there's so many things that God has for us that we just don't open. That God has so many things that he wants to do in our life. He wants to show himself to you in such a great way, in a personal way. He wants to work through you in a great and personal way. But we sell ourselves short of what God really has for our life. And today I want to talk to you about this thought that God is more. God is more. Ephesians 3:20. Let's bring it up, guys. Let's read that together. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Isn't this great? That God is bigger than we can measure. God is bigger than we can ask. He can do more things than we can ask or even imagine. Isn't that crazy? To think that our imagination can imagine so many things. And it says God's bigger than even our imagination. According to his power that is what? Is the work within us. That means that God has got so much more in us that he's wanting to produce in us. God has got so much more of his Holy Spirit that he wants to give to you. God has got so much more blessing that he wants to give to you. God's got so much more of ministry that he wants to open to your life. But we've got to open up to that. We sell ourselves short of what God has. And God is more. He's above what we can think. God is above all these things that we can imagine. God is more. There's more to God. In Exodus 3, verses 1 through 5, this is a great story. I love this story. The story of Moses. Many of you guys know Moses and the story of the Prince of Egypt, and you've seen the Ten Commandments, and you've seen this. If you've been in the Bible, if you've been in church very long, or if you haven't been to church, you've seen the movie, The Ten Commandments. You know this story of Moses and how Moses was saved as a baby, put in the Nile River. And Pharaoh's house adopted him and raised him up as one of their own and saved him from being put to death as a child. And then he fled and flew out of Egypt and went and lived in the desert. And he was there working in the desert when it says this, that Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to a far side of the desert and came upon Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. Now, let's talk about this real fast. This is a fascinating story today. I'm just going to spend a few minutes talking about this, but some great things in here I want to pull out when it talks about God is more. I believe it relates to you and I. But can you imagine Moses seeing this bush burning, but the bush wouldn't burn up? I mean, you talk about a sight. You're in the desert, and this bush, let's say this is the bush, it catches fire, and it's burning, but it doesn't burn out. It just burns. And wouldn't that kind of intrigue your attention? And you look at that. Can you imagine what would happen when you go back and tell your friends, yeah, man, this bush was burning, man. And God, like, spoke through this bush. And people are like, what kind of bush was you around? You know, I don't know what you're thinking. But God don't speak to burning bushes, you know. It's, I mean, you'd be thinking, that's our non-natural we go to. What kind of bush were you around, man? You know, that's just kind of what it looks like. It seems very crazy, doesn't it, that God would speak this way. It seems very uncomprehendable that God would use to speak to Moses through a burning bush. And I think that what God was wanting to do more in Moses' life, God was wanting to use Moses in a greater way, and this thought that God is more, that oftentimes we have excuses. And it's the same excuses that Moses made right here. The same hurdles we got to get over if we want God to be more in our life. And God wants to be more in your life. And these are some of the excuses. Let's talk about some of these excuses. Let me give you four excuses to stop us from getting more of God. The first excuse is this. We got to learn, number one, to get over yourself. We got to get over ourselves. Exodus 3:11 and verse 12. Look what it says. It says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. Now, here's God speaking through the bush, saying, Moses, hey, I want you to go and call my people out. Go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. I'm delivering my people and all the stuff that God gives him commands to do. And the first thing that Moses says, God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring your people out? Isn't that the same excuse that you and I use so many times? I even talked about it a little bit earlier today in our worship time, that we come to God, we're like, God, who am I that you'd want to use me? Who am I that God would want to do more through me? Who am I? And we disqualify ourselves. And what we do is we try to get our act together so that we can go to God. When really, it's just the opposite that needs to happen. Well, we need to go to God to get our act together. Because we'll never be qualified enough. Let me say that to you again today. I hate to burst your bubble. I hate to bring you down a notch today for those of you who are on that pride stool this morning. But knowing this, that you will never be good enough. That you and yourself will never do enough good things. That you can never know enough and you can never experience enough to make you qualified for God to use. It's through His grace that we're qualified. It's through His grace that God is using us. It's through, in spite of me, God decides to use me. I tell people all the time, we see where God used a donkey to speak. God spoke through a donkey one time in the Bible. Remember that? So if God can speak through a donkey, and I'll keep it clean this morning. If God can speak through a donkey, He can surely use you and I. He can use you and I, and He can speak through us in a great way. But God wants to do more in our life, but we face the same challenge that Moses faced. He said, God, who am I? And we disqualify ourselves so much of more of God. God's got so much more that He wants to do in every one of our lives here. But we sell ourselves short and say, God, who am I? God, I'm not qualified to do this. God, you can't use me. God, you sure you picked the right person? God, do you know what you're doing? What an oxymoron. God, do you know who you're talking to? Like He doesn't know. He's got more that He wants to do in our life. And we got to stop using this excuse that we can't get over ourselves. We got to get over ourselves. Number two, we got to get over your brain. We got to get over your brain. I know that sounds kind of funny this morning, but really, right here, this is where we get stuck. When it comes to God, this is where we get stuck. Right between our ears, we have this head game going on. And God wants to do things. Look what Moses said in Exodus 3, 13 and 14. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? I love this question. All right, God, let's just say that I do this, okay? Let's say that you decide to use me, and okay. But what did I say to him? Who's sending me? What is his name? And then what shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am. I'm like, that's what the movie says. I am who I am. Can you imagine Moses like, hang on, God, before you say, hang on, let me get a pen, hang on, let me get a pen. All right, God, what do you want me to tell them? All right, God, go ahead. I am who I am. I know you are who you are, but who do you want me to tell them? I am that I am. I am who I am. It's kind of like who's on first, you know, who's on second. What? God's saying this one thing. You cannot figure it out in your head. Moses wanted God to tell him exactly what to say. God, you just tell me exactly how to explain that you're speaking through the burning bush to me. Because it's kind of crazy. If I go to him and say, you spoke through the bush, and that God is sending me, who am I really going to tell? God, tell me, how can I explain it to them that they're going to understand? And when God's going to use you, let me tell you this, you can't always comprehend it, okay? We got to learn to get past our brain, because we will spend our whole life trying to rationalize how is God going to use me, and how am I going to explain it, and how we get stuck right here, and we keep God from work. God wants to work more in my life, but how's that work? You know, I've met so many people in my life that I've talked to, and they want to know more of God, but they have a hard time right here. Well, Pastor, I just can't understand it all. And we teach them in Scripture, and we show them in Scripture, and I spend hours teaching them the Word of God and spend time, but they keep coming back. But how do I know it's true, or how's it going to make sense? And they can't always comprehend, because they think that make the mistake that we can get it all right here, that we can figure it all out in our mind. And let me tell you, it's just not going to happen. That when it comes to knowing more of God, He's beyond our comprehension. He's beyond our imagination. He's beyond what we could dream or imagine. He's beyond that. And so He's so complex and so many-sided in His nature that we cannot fully comprehend His nature and His existence. And so if you have to fully comprehend it in your mind, you'll never get anywhere. You'll be stuck. You'll be stuck. And so when you want God to do more in your life, you have got to get past the thing in your brain that says, I got to understand everything. Look what 1 Corinthians 2, 3 through 5 says. I came to you in weakness and fear. This is Paul talking. And with much trembling. He says, my message and my preaching were not with the wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. You see, when it comes to God working our life and doing more, it's about His power. Because men's wisdom, we can't understand it all. Men's wisdom, we cannot fully understand and explain it to the full capacity of what it is. We touch the tip of the iceberg. We can paint a pretty picture. We can show theology, but we really cannot fully comprehend that God of the universe can speak into existence. We can only prove that He did it. But you know what? We can't fully comprehend it, and we can't fully comprehend everything that God is, and so we get stuck right there so much. How can God do more in my life? I just can't comprehend it. And it's a thing that you got to move past, to getting past the thing, and you got to stop that excuse. Get over your brain. We got to get over ourselves. God, how can you use me? God, I'm not qualified. And then we got to get past our brain. God, I can't comprehend this. A third excuse we got to get over today is the excuse of getting over others. Getting over others. Exodus 4, 1 through 5. Look what Moses said here. Now Moses answered, what if, isn't this great? He's like, all right, God, all right, let's say that I am qualified, and you qualify me. And God, let's say, all right, that I am that I am. Send me, okay? Let's say I'm taking this as far, but now look what he says. But God, what if they don't believe me when I say I am that I am and sent me? What if they don't believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you in a burning bush? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. And the Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake and he ran from it. Let's go to the next slide. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out his hand and took a hold of the snake and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This said the Lord is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of the fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. And in this first question, I think it's such a great stumbling block for all of us that we look at, that we say, God, all right, what do we say to them when they don't believe me? God, and what happens is when you're going to be used of God, and you want God to do more in your life, you got to get past not only your brain, but you got to get past your worrying about what are others going to think. Aren't we there? Hey, come on. It don't we all? We're all right there. What are others going to think? God, okay. Let's say I do believe you because I do believe because you spoke in the bush and I was there and I saw it with my own two eyes. But they're not going to believe me. So what am I going to say to them? When they say, how do you know? I mean, he was worried about what people were going to think about him. And rightfully so. It's a very human, natural trait that we have, emotion that we have. We even share it here today, don't we? How many remember when you first came into worship and people around you were kind of lifting their hands and swaying a little bit and getting into worship, and you came in, maybe you're a little conservative? I remember being like this. Well, I ain't going to do that. I can remember those same thoughts. Well, that's all right for them, but I ain't going to do that. I'm going, nah, bless God, I ain't doing that. And you remember that you came in, and even though you were trying to do this right here, that spirit kind of just worked through your toe? Even though your arms are crossed, your foot was tapping. And then, you know, maybe the next week you kind of, well, both feet kind of tapped. Maybe you shifted from way out. And you remember, I remember the time that I was like, all right, next week I'm going to lift my hands. Next week I'm going to lift my hands. And, you know, and you wait till the best song is played and the high point, and you're like, I did it. Before I did, I was trying to practice, like, you know, hallelujah. Got a little courtesy praise right here, you know. Don't you remember that? Don't you remember those days and you lift your hands? I felt like, this is what I felt like. I felt like every eye in the building was on me. I did. I felt like everybody was watching me. And as soon as I lift my hands, people were like, whoa, what happened? You know, what's going on? Just see Gene lifted his hands. Oh, my God. I feel like every eye was on me. Like, what are people going to think when I, what my friends are going to think? What's going to happen when I lift my hands to worship you? And I remember getting past that point and breaking through and, God, I want more of you. I don't care what anybody else thinks, God. I want more of you in my life. I remember getting to that point. You ever been there? I think if you haven't been there, you need to push for it. Saying, God, I don't care what nobody else thinks. I want more of you in my life. God, I want more of your presence. God, I want more of your strength. I want more of your Holy Spirit. I want more of your power alive and fresh in my life. And God, I'm going to go after you. I'm going to abandon. You know what? I did that. You know what happened? Nothing happened. Nobody really cared. People aren't looking at me, but in my mind, I feel like they're all, what's going to happen? That's why one of the reasons why we like to dim the lights during our worship time, because I want you to be free just to worship the Lord and enter into that without your mind playing games on who's looking at me, who's not. We want to make it easier for people who are coming in, who are new and learning to worship the Lord, they can do that. But that's just one example. That's what we are. We're so worried about people's opinions that it holds us back from more of God. We're so worried about, what if I do this? What's my family going to say? What if I do this? What my friends think? And I say to you, and I challenge you as your pastor, may this summer you say, God, I want more of you in a great way. God, I want more of you in a mighty way in my life. God, I want more of your presence alive in my life. I don't care who knows. I don't care who looks at me. God, I'm abandoning myself to you. And God, I'm going to cry out to you and say, God, I want more of you in my life. Do you want more? You've got to get past people's opinions. Moses had the same fear. He had to get past that fear. God, what am I going to say to them when they ask me? What am I going to do with this? We get stuck there. We've got to stop this excuse. We've got to get over others. John 12 has a good scripture about this. Verse 42 and 43 says, yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for the fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise from men more than the praise from God. Well, what a sad story. That they love God, but they were afraid to They were afraid to go any further and confess them because they were afraid of what the Pharisees may think. And so they valued men's opinion more than they did God's opinion. And so God was not able to do more in their life. And see, if you want to go deeper, you got to value God's opinion more than anything else in your life. This is such a big, big, big hurdle in the Christian walk. But if you can cross it, I tell you, the floodgates of heaven can open in your life. That God can open up, and man, he can take you to a different dimension. He can take you to a higher place than him. But it comes when you say, God, I value what you think of me more than anybody else. God, I value that you're pleased with me more than I do anybody else's opinion. It's a place of saying, God, I want more of you in my life. And the last excuse we got to learn to get over is the excuse, I've never done that before. I've never done that before. Look what Exodus 4:10 says. Moses said to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since. You have spoken to your servant, and I am slow of speech." We know that Moses had a stuttering problem. He said, "God, I'm slow of speech and my tongue." And the Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will help you speak." When you want more of God, you got to be able to say, "God, you know what? I've got to get past this thing I've never done before. God, you want to use me, but I've never done that before. God, I've never shared my faith before. I never went out and just served somebody outside the church. God, I've never done that before. God, I've never..." God says this. God says, "You do it, and I'll help you." "Well, God, I can't do that. I'm just too nervous." I guarantee you, I know you're nervous. But take the first step, and God's boldness will fill you at the time you step out. Once you take those first words out of your mouth, all of a sudden you're going to find that the boldness of God is going to come in your life. It's a boldness to help you go more and to do more. God's wanting us to get past this thought, "I've never done it before." I'm sure Moses had never spoke to a bush before. God had never spoken through a bush before. But sometimes God wants to do things that's never been done before, so he can take you to a place you've never been. Sometimes God wants you to do things that seem a little foolish, but he's trying to take you somewhere. He's trying to get you to do something you've never done so he can get you to a place you've never been. He wants you to do something you've never done so he can help develop you to a place he wants you to be. "I've never done that before, God. I can't do that." We just got to learn to say, "God, cut out the excuse. God, I want to do it." Hebrews 11:6, the last scripture we're going to read today. "And without faith, it is" in what? "Impossible." Without faith, it is. One more time. "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek after him." And bottom line, when it comes to wanting more of God and letting God become more in your life, you've got to walk in faith. Because you're not going to always understand it right here. It's not, you can't cross every T and dot every I and understand everything the fullness of God is. He's just much bigger than our comprehension. We got to quit trying to put God in a box. That's what we do. We try to take God and limit him and put him in a box. "Well, I know this much about God. I understand this much about the Bible. I understand this much about the Holy Spirit. And so I can only do this much because I only understand this." And we got to begin to take those lids off and say, "God, you're bigger than all that. God, you're bigger than all that." And there's going to come a time when God's going to ask you to take a step of faith. Say, "God, I don't fully understand all that, but I believe that it's true. And I believe that you're true. And I believe you can do greater things in my life. I believe you want to do more in my life." As I step out and say, "God, I'm putting my trust in you. God, take me to a place I've never been. God, use me in a way I've never been used. God, use me. God, I want more of you. I want more of you, God." As we open up our life and do that, it's a step of faith saying, "God, I trust in you. I trust in you." And God is looking for what kind of faith? A faith that pleases him. It's a faith, and that's what the faith is. It's, "God, I can't put you in my box any longer. I got to take you out of that box because you're bigger than that box." Man, we got to quit trying to put God in the box and say he is bigger. He's bigger than our box. He's bigger than your house. He's bigger than your warehouse that you've kept him in. We got to open the doors, take away, and rip it off. Say, "God, you're bigger than all that. God, you're bigger than anything. And God, if I put my faith in you and my trust in you, you can do more than I can imagine. You can do more than I can dream. You can do more than I can think. God, your ways are better than my ways. God, your ways are blessed and prosperous. God, your ways bring harvest. God, your ways bring blessing. God, your ways bring a fruit. God, your ways bring salvation. God, your ways bring your will to be done. And God, I'm going to put my trust in you. Quit making excuses as Moses did. And let's step out and say, God, you are more. Let's bow our heads this morning. Today, with every head bowed here today, I just want to ask you this question as we close out this service. The first question I want to ask you, maybe you're here today, say, Pastor Gene, you're talking about God being more in my life. And I got to be honest with you first and just say that, first of all, I just need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I need to accept him as my Lord and Savior today, and I need to ask him to be Lord of my life. I want to make sure that heaven's my home. I want to confess my sins to him and ask him to forgive me of them. I want to walk in a right relationship with Jesus. Before I can even have more God, first of all, I just got to get right with God. Or maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer a long time ago, but I have lived so far away from God. And today, I just want to come back and I just want to renew my faith in Jesus. I want to renew my commitment to him. I want to begin to live for him again. If you're today and you want to pray that prayer, I will not embarrass you in any way. I'm not going to do anything to embarrass you, but no one's looking. But if you're here today and say, Pastor, I want to pray that prayer. I want to make sure that heaven's my home. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Can you raise your hand where you're at? I want to make sure you have that chance today. No one's looking but me. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today? Say, Pastor, that's me. I want to accept Jesus. Anybody else today? You want to join these two that's already raised their hand? Anybody else wants to say, that's me? Pastor, I'm ready. Today's my day. I'm ready to get right with God today. I've been away from him for a long time. Today's my day. Anybody else, I don't want to leave until you have that chance. You say, Pastor, that's me. I want to accept Jesus Christ today. We had a couple people who raised their hands, so I'm going to ask everyone if we could. Can we please repeat this prayer? Let's say it together. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins, for I know I'm a sinner, and I'm in need of a Savior. And today, I give you everything I am, all of my sin, all of my life, I give to you. I accept your forgiveness today. I confess you as Lord of my life, and I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we say, welcome to the family of God. Let's give a little hand clap, or yeah. If you prayed that prayer today, before you leave, we got a packet in the back. It just gives you a free Bible, some other material we want to give to you that helps you what to do next. Make sure you stop in the very back. We got those for you today. This is our special gift to you. We say, welcome to the family of God. I'm going to invite you to stand today. And I'm not going to have you bow your heads. I'm going to ask you a question as we close out today. How many today say, Pastor, this summer, I want God to take off the limits of my mind, my spirit, and I want more of God. Anybody here today say, Pastor, I want more. I want more. This message today is challenging me. I want more. Man, I want more. I tell you, as your pastor, that's inside me hungry. I'm hungry for more of God. John, I want more of his Holy Spirit in my life like I never had before. I want more of his power to be alive in my life. I want more of what God has for Destiny Church. I want more. I don't want to settle for anything less than what God has for us. And that's taking off the limits. That's taking off our own boundaries and taking God out of the box. And God, you are who you are. And we're going to just walk in faith and say, God, you be you. And man, we're going to follow after you. We're going to be passionate lovers of you. And we're going to go after you passionately and allow you to do great and more things in our life. We're going to allow you to use us. I believe God wants to do great things in your life, starting right now today. And say, God, I want more in your life. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every person today. All those who raised their hands across the building who said they want more of you. I pray right now, may your Holy Spirit, God, begin to fill their life in a new and fresh way. God, I pray that this summer, God, will be a great summer. A refreshing of your Holy Spirit be poured out into their life. That, God, that more things, Lord, more faith, we walk in more faith. We walk in with blinders taken off of us. God, we would see you, Lord, with the unlimited potential, unlimited things that you want to do in our life. It's more than we can imagine. It's more than we can dream. God, you're bigger than all those things. So we take you out of our box And God, we put you back on the throne where you deserve to be. And God, we say, you are in control of this universe. You're in control of my church. You're in control of my life. And God, I'm going to put you there. And God, you do more in my life, God. I'm cutting out the excuses. God, I'm going to get past my fears. I'm going to get past my mind and my thinking. I'm going to get past other people's opinion. And God, I want more of you in a great way. I'm going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid to abandon myself and worship you. I'm not going to be afraid to read my Bible at a lunch break. I'm not going to be afraid to share with a coworker. I'm not going to be afraid to pray for somebody at the ball field. God, I know that you are wanting me to do more. And through me, you can do big things. But it comes when I cut out the excuses and say, God, I want more. Today, Holy Spirit, we say we want more. We want more. We want more. We want more of you. We want more of you, Holy Spirit, alive in our life. May that be the passion of our prayer. May it be the passion of our walk all week today that we pray that prayer. God, we want more of you. Simple words, we want more. We want more. We want more of you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Make it the prayer of your heart this week. Hug a neck before you leave. Shake a hand. We say, God bless you.